Be the right club. Be the right club today. Yes!
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the No Laying Up podcast. Back for the second time. He heard the Rory podcast and demanded that we get on the horn almost immediately. He's got notes prepared. Charles Howell III, what's going on, man?
Man, it's all good. I obviously really enjoyed our first podcast, but when you throw Rory McIlroy at me, I can't win. I can only strive to compete with it. But I know when I'm second fiddle, and I get it.
Well, I'm not willing to say that. You know, I think you've got notes prepared. I don't know what you've got in store for me. I'm not willing to concede that you're going to be second fiddle to Rory. So,
yeah, I don't know. You know, you get your head beaten by enough on the golf course. It's only fitting that it should follow right into a podcast as well.
Well, you just finished a 3-tournament stretch. What else is going on with you, man? You had a good fall series. You typically make a heyday out of the West Coast swing. Now you're balling out on the fall series. So is this just your time of year? Is this when it gets dark early? That's when Charles Howell comes out to play.
Well, it may be, or I think the more accurate is I usually just drive myself into complete oblivion and nuts during the summer. And I kind of flame out late in the summer, and then I come back home for a while, and I get rested, and come back out for the fall. So it's a career pattern here now, and about 17 years into it, I think I need to just embrace it.
You changed equipment to start the season, and you had I would say you had a strong season. I didn't see any major dips in your game in any part. Was there an adjustment period for switching to the new equipment, or was it a pretty smooth transition?
Well, the interesting thing with PXG, and obviously a lot of the golf people know this, but the engineers are largely from Ping. And looking at, I think the Ping engineers have always been, if not the best, they're for sure in the conversation. And if you couple that with Bob Parsons and his willingness to spend whatever's needed on R&D, I think you've got a pretty good team there. And the first run of PXG equipment, obviously, I like, and their sales reflect that other people like it as well. But the exciting thing with PXG will be what's coming down the pipeline. You've got smart people with really no budget in R&D, and hopefully some fun, cool stuff comes out. And for golf, we need people like Bob Parsons involved in the game that are willing to step up and invest a large amount of money and try to make equipment better. I mean, I think for the game, it's only good.
What's the biggest, the hardest thing to adjust for? Is it woods, irons, ball, wedges? I mean, what do you spend the most time like trying to get right when you do make a change?
Well, I'd say it's the driver. If you want to just talk about your bag. And it's not so much the good ones. It's understanding where the misses all of a sudden go. So any golfer can hit any driver good, but the more important thing is you need to know where your bad ones are going. And so when you switch equipment, it's more or less learning about, okay, on my bad days, this is what's going to happen, or I kind of expect this miss. And once a player learns that, then I think that's when he or she is really comfortable with the equipment.
All right. Well, we last spoke just before the U.S. Open in June. You had a little stretch of period where you were injured for a while there, and you've come back from that now. What would you say, if anything, has changed with you since we last spoke?
Well, I've worked a ton on my short game. I think that's one area of the game where I continue to look at what players are doing well, that play well, and I look at what are guys doing, let's say, better than I am, and start to dig through some of that. And you just saw it again. I don't know if you watched the Australian Open, but Jordan Spieth's putting and his ability to get the ball up and down. The game's just too hard to hit the ball great every single day. And it's really difficult to rely on long game every day. So you've got to have your short game. And nowadays, playing against these guys, it's got to be great. That'd be the one area I think I've really focused on.
Is that you were recently started working with a new short game coach, I think, when we last spoke. Is that right? Or how recent is that change?
Yes, a gentleman named John Graham, yes.
And then have there been significant changes in your approach to how you – is it just mostly how you practice for it or any change in technique in anything specific?
You know, the biggest thing is he continually shows me stats and what the players that are winning are doing. And if nothing else, it just makes me excited to practice it. And I would say that's the one thing. You look across the board. I mean, let's just be honest. It's a lot more fun to hit drivers than it is to putt 6-foot putts, right? I mean, you know, it's not very sexy standing on a putting green and hitting 10-foot left to right putts. It's just not. But you got to do it. And then, so if nothing else, if he shows me and beats into my head stats and the importance of doing it, you know, then I can get excited to do it and I'll spend the appropriate time.
I gotta say, I must at least partially apologize. I'm just now kind of realizing this is Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I don't get really a Thanksgiving over here. So are you already like on holiday? What are the plans for the holiday for your family and whatnot for Thanksgiving?
Well, we're home. So we're in Orlando now. And my wife's family has flown down from Oklahoma. So they made it easy on us. So there's no traveling. Our kids are out of school for the week. So this is the first sort of holiday season where our kids have been in school, so and now the holidays mean a bit more to them because they don't have to go to school, so they could care less about Thanksgiving, but the fact they don't have to go to school, they're all in.
So are you the one that puts the turkey in the oven, or how does that get done around the household?
No, sir. You see, part of this marriage deal is you got to know you're going to screw up enough. You don't let it be Thanksgiving dinner. So absolutely not. I have no responsibility in this whatsoever. So I'm fully indemnified from anything that's bad tomorrow. That's a fine way to be.
Are the clubs put away? I think your probably next event will be Sony. Am I right in guessing that?
Yes, correct. I'll play the Shark Shootout.
Okay.
Which, you know, kind of a team event. You know, silly season, whatever you want to call it. But then the next main event for me will be the Sony Open. But no, the clubs are not put away. This is the time of year the clubs come out.
Yeah,
I love this time of year. I get to try all kinds of stuff and over practice and play with buddies back home. So no, the weather's great now in Florida, and this is my time of year. I look forward to.
In between, I mean, I know we're in the middle of technically the wraparound season, but this is, I guess, a 6-week gap, the only really one we get on the PGA Tour season.
Yep.
Do you, make a wipe the slate clean, look at a fresh new start kind of thing, or are you trying your best to roll your seasons together so that you don't feel like you have an off season?
I think the latter. I'd rather roll them together, and that's partly the reason why I do play the Shark Shootout is it kind of keeps me a little bit in that playing mentality. Historically, when I look back, and not just me, but a lot of other players, when you come off a break, even if you take, let's say, 2 weeks off, it's always the first week you don't really play your best. By the second or third week in a row, you kind of start playing the game again. The scoring mentality comes back out. That's kind of the time when you see guys play their best golf. So I'd rather see it as a continuation. I've never been a guy to sort of set my clubs down and not play. I mean, you know, people retire to play golf. I mean, what am I doing? I still want to have a job. I just play golf. And I play great courses around the world. And so I'm still unemployed, really.
You're as true sicko as you would call it.
Exactly, yes. I like to play.
Maybe you've already done it with a fall series event, but with the new rule where you have to add at least one new event per year, what event are you planning to add, or have you already done that?
Well, I fall under a weird exempt category from that. I play 25 events or more per year, so I don't fit into that. If I had to add an event, it would be fine. I mean, I could add whatever. But I play enough now where I don't have to do that. It will be interesting, though, to see what some of the top players add in there. I think it's a great rule. I was actually a proponent of the 1-in-4 rule that was proposed, where you had to play every single event once every 4 years. Hmm. Obviously, I mean, you can understand who or why would oppose that, but I think just from a sponsor point of view, I think that would have been really good.
Okay, so we would not expect any major changes from your schedule in 2017 for personal or golf reasons or anything like that?
No, hopefully my game will get better and I can add some world events and majors in there. I would welcome that change. Other than that, no, I'll play the same old schedule.
All right, so let's see. As much as we can talk about your game, as much as we could take up an entire podcast talking about your game, but you, as you've self-diagnosed, are a golf sicko. You enjoy analyzing. Part of the reason I think you love coming on this podcast is you have a future career in being a talking head on the Golf Channel. But I want to hear some predictions for 2017 on major winners. Let's start with the Masters. If I got to hold your feet to the fire, who's going to win the Masters?
Well, I'm like all bad bettors. I'm going to let my heart influence this one, and I'm going to say Rory McIlroy. I think one of the big storylines entering next year will be his preparation up to the Masters, what tournaments he plays, how he tries to get himself ready for it. And, you know, his words, even he knows it's his, you know, last major to get it to complete the career Grand Slam. Man, every year I look at the Masters and I can't think of a better guy to win that golf tournament. He hits high draws with his driver. He can hit it as far as he wants to. I mean, it just seems like a golf course is just tailor-made for him. And if he were to go another 3 or 4 years without winning that tournament, I would be shocked.
Part of me thinks that he could, if it was any other time of the year and if it wasn't like an 8-month layoff before the Masters. I mean, first of all, I think he's only played it twice since it would have been to complete the career Grand Slam. So it's yes. Not jumping to any conclusions on can he ever win this thing. But I think he'd benefit so much more if it was like 2 months after another major or something like that, where it wasn't going to be this build-up every time. He even said he plays well leading up into it. He knows he's just driving the hype train. He stops doing media before it. So I don't know. I'm with you. I felt like what we saw out of him in 2011, it looked like a guy that was going to kind of dominate that golf course for decades to come. And since that Sunday, we just haven't seen him play that course with that kind of dominant factor to it. It always seems like he's, you know, taking one step forward, two steps back out there. And it almost seems like now Spieth is this guy that is just tailor-made for this golf course, even though is it weird if I say, like, I don't feel like his game fits that course necessarily that great, but he still seems to dominate it?
Right. And, I don't know if you remember the third round last year, Rory and Jordan were paired together.
Yep.
And I thought it was going to be one of those rounds where Rory came out and shot 65 or 6 and separated himself out. And sure enough, it flipped the other way. And Jordan obviously played a phenomenal round in front of Rory in that situation. And it does. And obviously, Jordan is a heck of a player. This is not meant any way, not meaning that. But I would still say I feel like Rory McIlroy's game fits Augusta National better than Jordan's. But the record shows otherwise. I mean, Jordan, apart from the 12th hole last year, he would have had another great jacket. And you're exactly right. I completely agree with you.
People say you don't read the greens at Augusta, you remember them. So how can he, at age 23, putt those greens better than any other guy in that field?
It's unbelievable. And the fact how consistently well he putts them. It's not as if he has one hot day and then a bunch of average ones. No, he putts them well every day. But he does it everywhere. He does it on different surfaces. He does it on different grasses. It's just incredible. And, yeah, I mean, you look how well he even putted Chambers Bay. And, those surfaces were not great at all. And so the guy seems to do it every day. And, I wish I knew what he did.
That was very nice of you to say that Chambers Bay surfaces were not nice at all. That was as good of a compliment as you could have paid those greens.
Well,
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, we live in this politically correct world now, right? I mean, everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets a ribbon.
All right, so moving on. Aaron Hills, U.S. Open. Who you got?
I've played the golf course. It's it'll be interesting to see how they set it up. It can be as big and long and mean as they want to make it. And, you know, Mike Davis just loves doing that. So I'm quite sure he's already planning that. But, you know, it's a repeat winner's ball. I get those are difficult and tough. I love Dustin Johnson there for the sole reason of his driving ability. Aaron Hills is extremely long. You got to drive it in the fairway. Obviously, we know that. And is there a guy that drives it longer or shorter than Dustin? I don't think there is. Dustin's also got the mentality to endure the bad, nasty breaks you're going to get at a U.S. Open and the odd, you know, the bogeys you are going to inevitably make around him. I think his mentality is great for it. I can't imagine a player handling the situation that he handled at the U.S. Open the way he did and still coming through to win that golf tournament on Sunday. There's not a better guy for it.
I'm on board with that. I'm picking DJ to go back-to-back, so we are in unison on that one. And for the record, yes. I'm going Spieth again for the Masters. So,
yeah, hey, I can't argue. Yeah. I hear you, though.
All right, British Open. Open Championship. What do you? First of all, what do you say? Are you a proponent of saying Open Championship, or do you not care?
You know, I'm one of these Americans that calls it the British Open, and people don't like that.
No.
No, see, and it's... yeah, I've got to be honest. I've always called it the British Open. However, I don't know what I've ever referred to as the Open. I've never called like the Canadian Open the Open. I need to modernize it. We'll call it the Open from now on.
All right, we'll be sportsmen. We'll call it the Open.
That's correct. We'll call it the Open. The Open. I love Phil Mickelson. I think he's got one more in the tank. He loves link style golf. He loves the British Open golf. He was one extremely hot player away last year from winning it. And it just seems to me, as soon as people try to somewhat write Phil Mickelson off a little bit, he comes through and does something like he did. And I think it owes him one after the Henrik Stenson bus saw.
Okay. It's just amazing to hear you talk about Phil loving link style golf with where you know, we imagine saying that like 15 years ago. I mean, it was that tournament that everyone pointed out, like he would never win one of these things. Now it's maybe his best chance to win another major.
Isn't it amazing? Everybody said, oh no, he'll never win the British because it's too windy and he can't drive it well enough. And yeah, everybody says that. I'm like, guys, he's won 42 times. Like, he does something pretty good. You know, as much as people love to criticize Phil Mickelson for this or this, he's got 42 wins.
That's amazing.
So, I mean, in my book, the only guy that can really criticize him as actively playing is probably Tiger Woods. So, and actively is a loose word.
Yes.
Nobody should criticize him.
We'll get to the big cat here, but sidebar, I asked, we did a little Ryder Cup post-game podcast. I asked, will Phil Mickelson be on the Ryder Cup team in 2018, in your thoughts?
Okay, yes, I would say he will.
All right, that's the easy one. That's the easy one. Now 2020. 50.
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Simply because historically looking at it, it's very difficult to stay extremely competitive post-age 45, 46 in golf. You can find the odd example, the Vijay Singh, Kenny Perry. I think Fred Funk won the Players' Championship at a late age. It's very hard to do. And look at this influx of young players you have coming up. I could see Phil rolling right into a captaincy role from that, but I'm going to say he has one more Ryder Cup in him.
Okay. So you're ruling out my prediction that he plays at Bethpage in 2024.
See, but what a great captain he would be there.
Playing captain, though. That's my whole point.
It could be. But now, okay, on the European side, is there a better captain at Bethpage than Ian Poulter?
No, that's got to be Poulter versus Phil, doesn't it?
It has to be Ian Poulter. Like there's no the venue, everything. It was tailor made for Ian Poulter to be a captain at Bethpage. It's perfect. It's set up.
Who is, I guess, the front runner or the rumor? Maybe you know too much and can't say it. The likely captain to be in 2018, is it Furyk?
You know, I honestly don't know and haven't heard a word of it. Except, the rumblings, and it seems to be pointing right at Jim Furyk. He would be a good captain. You know, he's a lot more competitive than people think he is. You know, he's obviously a fairly unorthodox guy, but you know, he does things his way. He's a bit of a sportsman. You know, I mean, he's a Steelers fan, and you know, he's played the Pebble Beach program with Lynn Swan, and he's kind of a bit more of a sports guy than people may think. So, I would say that would make a lot of sense to me.
Okay, and I mean, everyone's assuming Stricker in 2020. I would assume up in Wisconsin.
Yes.
2022. Any thoughts? Any predictions there? I mean, I've heard some rumblings on the Big Cat for that, but I'm not sure how interested he is in being the head captain, the number one guy doing all that media obligation. But do you have any insight as to whether or not you think he would be interested in that?
You know, I still can't believe that he signed up as an assistant captain.
Really?
And maybe that's part of me that still wants to see him, you know, winning golf tournaments and putting that red shirt on Sunday. Patrick Reed's red shirt now, you know, to get back to the Cat. But I still kind of want to be seeing that. And I just can't believe that. I think it's wonderful that he did it. I'm just still so no, I really don't see him as being a captain. I see that more in the likes of like we saw with Fred Couples being a captain of a President's Cup, and then you see the Steve Stricker and Davis Love, and I see kind of that fold of guy coming right through to Phil Mickelson. And maybe I'm dead wrong. I mean, maybe Tiger would be a wonderful captain, but I still see that guy playing.
Yeah, well, I guess we can transition into that, because that guy's supposed to be come back playing. Is it next week, the Hero? I've lost track of the calendar. Yeah,
I believe it is. I think it is next week. Yeah, it is.
Next week. If you're putting money on it right now, is he playing next week?
Yes, he's playing. And to support you from earlier, he's going to play a TaylorMade driver.
Okay.
And a TaylorMade 3-wood. And a Bridgestone golf ball.
Okay.
So I think part of him is excited that he can try new equipment. You know, he's obviously played the Nike gear for so long that I think now he kind of looks to him as this like, big open world out there of trying equipment and, you know, seeing what's out there and whatnot. And, you know, he's still only 40 years old. And you know, let's say that golfers start to teeter out at 45, 46. I mean, let's hope that he's healthy. He's got 5 healthy years ahead of him. I still have got to think the guy can come out and win. I really do. Knowing him and as competitive as he is, and even in these situations when his back's against the wall and people start doubting him, I mean, he feeds off all that. And I hope he comes out next week and just has a solid event. He doesn't need to win it and do anything heroic, but just start building his game back up in a competitive sense. And, man, I'd love to see the guy win next year.
And that's what I try to tell myself when I'm watching Rod Pampling win, you know, win an event. They were at 48, I think Pampling is. You're telling me at 40. I know Tiger's been through a lot of health issues. And maybe that's just when I start throwing logic out the window, though, and start thinking fairy tale. I just refuse to believe that he's done, you know? I just don't think that it doesn't add up to me unless he truly can't get healthy. The guy still has a boatload of talent to tap from, and if it's really health that prevents him from tapping into that, I can understand it. But that talent just does not completely go away. And I mean, do you still have a lot of communication with them? Have you played with them at all, or any indications of what his game is like in the last couple of months?
I haven't played with him. I saw him down in Albany at the very end of the summer, down in the Bahamas, and you know, he looked great. He looked fit as he always does, and I agree with you. I just don't believe that Tiger Woods, that's won what 80 golf tournaments, is all of a sudden not going to be able to win a tournament again, unless, as you said, he just can't do it. Unless his back is that bad, or if his knee gets bad again. And I know he's had some, you know, what, shoulder, neck, and I mean, if he has a health element, I get it. But I'm telling you, if the guy's healthy, if he comes out and plays a run of 4 or 5 events in a row, I just have to believe by the end of that stretch, he's going to be right there on Sunday to win. And, man, I mean, you know, part of me, I guess, is hoping this happens as much as being an observer here. But I've just got to think that the guy can do it. I really do.
I think the Hero is a good event for him to come back at. Pretty wide fairways from down, and it's in the Bahamas, right?
Yes.
It's it at Albany?
It is at Albany, correct. Okay.
Wide fairways down there. It's not, anytime he's going to show up, there's going to be a ton of attention. I would think the vibe is going to be more relaxed in the Bahamas than it would be out in California, first PGA Tour event in the season. Would you think that factored into him maybe withdrawing in California?
You know, that's interesting. I was shocked he withdrew out there, especially, you know, committing on Friday, then withdrawing on Monday. But obviously Tiger knows what's going on as far as that. It's a lot more so than I do. Yes, I can see that. I mean, the Hero, I know they limit ticket sales down there. And it's not going to draw a ton of people, they're in person. But yes, I mean, every move the guy makes is going to be scrutinized, and every shot he hit, you know, the talking heads are going to talk about every single shot he hits and whatnot. But yeah, I think if he just comes back, he completes four rounds, he's healthy, he shows some good signs. And I think more than anything, that'll calm him down mentally to say, okay, I can still do this. Yeah. And I know that Tiger Woods is Tiger Woods, but he is still human. And once he goes out there and shoots a 68 or 9, then that will do more for him mentally than anything to say, okay, I haven't totally forgotten how to do this. This is going to be fine. And all of a sudden, if he plays San Diego and he gets in the hunt where he's won multiple times, then those feelings start coming back again. Yeah, I've got to think the guy can hold up a trophy again.
Oh, you got me excited. I usually don't like to talk a lot of Tiger just because I feel like but this is a scenario where I think it's very justified, because as far as I haven't looked this up, this feels like the longest period of time off we've ever really had him do, or, you know, that he's been away from the game. And I think we've been clamoring for this time away. Like, hey, man, if you're hurt and not healthy, take as much time as you need. Stop trying to rush it back. But how much are guys out there on tour talking about these kind of things? Like, when he withdrew, was that a big conversation out in California? And, like, is it all the buzz on tour right now?
You know what? No, not really. And it wasn't really that big of a story. Guys talked about it for a little bit. Then it was over and done with. And a little bit of that is the changing of the guard, though, of the younger generation coming out. These guys are ready to win, and they're competitive. And look at Mackenzie Hughes last week at McGlattery. I mean, he made a triple bogey there on, was it Saturday? And, I mean, he did the things you could do when you would think he was going to kind of fall away and not win the tournament. And the guy still sucks it up, wins the tournament in a playoff. So I think this younger generation is a little different. You know, they haven't had their head beat in by Tiger as everybody else has. They haven't seen that putter go up in the air and those 30-footers start dropping. And, you know, these guys are – not only are they ready to win, they are winning. So I think it's a little bit different now. And, you know, one last thing on Tiger, too, to the people that say that maybe he can't win again. You know, I look back to when he went through his personal stuff and he took all the time off and he disappeared and he was a ghost and people were, where's Tiger and what's he doing? His first event back was the Masters and he finished fourth.
Yeah.
They're guys, I mean, that will go a whole career and not finish fourth in the Masters that are great players. Okay. He did it when he had everything stacked against him that week. And the guy almost won the tournament, and this is the Masters. So I just keep referencing back to that and think that he will still win another regular event again with pretty good certainty.
And on top of that, I also always refer back to that. But on top of that, what I even refer back to more recently is that 2010, near the end of that season, is when things started going really poorly for his game. So that was his first tournament back. What was that Masters? 10, his game went to crap, and then 11 is when it really spiraled out of control. And from that, he returned to number one in the world. Like, his game had not fallen off to this level that it's at. But it was completely off to the point where I thought he was done. Like, I was an idiot, and I was not experienced enough to know that guy, you can't ever count that guy out. So when things started to go bad in 2014, I kept saying like, oh, he'll be fine, he'll be fine, he'll be fine. Here we are in late 2016, and we haven't seen like a good finish from him in almost 3 years. So, but I'm leaning on those two things, the one you just referenced and his comeback from that tough 2011, to make me say like, I don't think I'll ever count that guy out again. But
I'm with you, and you're smart.
It's all about the back, though, and it's a lot of people think
exactly. It's all about the health. Yes, yeah. Not the golf; it's the health.
A lot of people think that it's beyond repair, and we'll see. The swings that we saw from this last couple of weeks on the practice range weren't the most encouraging swings. It didn't look like the old Tiger thrashings. Not sure what to expect from that, but we'll see. We talked briefly about the Ryder Cup, and I know we're almost 2 months removed from it, but being the sicko that you are, how much of the Ryder Cup did you watch?
I watched almost all of it, especially the singles day. That I love the singles, and the fact that Rory and Patrick Reed played on the singles, there couldn't be better TV drama. And I know you were there and you got to watch it. I thought that was a wonderful day for golf, and even just that match alone, it was just fantastic for the game.
And do you feel like the tide has turned in the favor of the United States for the in the near future for winning Ryder Cups?
Maybe slightly, but it's hard to count Europe out. I mean, you go down the list and of their talented players, and those guys are going to be getting more comfortable in the format and in that. That match was played in the U.S., and for all the rookies that were on the Europe's team, I mean, that's a very intimidating place to start. So Thomas Peters is going to be a Ryder Cup stalwart for many years to come for Europe. You even look at a player like Matt Fitzpatrick, who just won in Dubai. Obviously, he's showing that he's a heck of a player and extremely solid. So, yeah, it's going to be hard to count those guys out. I think they're going to be close Ryder Cups for a long time.
I did mean to ask you one more question on the fall series that I forgot. You may have already mentioned one with Mackenzie Hughes, but did you see any new freaks out there this fall, to use the word that you used last time on the podcast? Any
yes.
new guys coming up from the web.com show that maybe whose games you weren't familiar with that you saw hitting balls or played with that you were like, uh-oh, here's another freak out here?
Well, not any in particular, because I didn't really get paired with any.
Yeah.
And it was a bit odd too, because I played one of the events in Malaysia, which is a small field. And in Vegas, not a lot of the young players get into that field. I didn't see a ton. I know they're out there. I just haven't seen them yet. I keep hearing about this Ryan Brim, that he's going to be the longest hitter on the tour when it's all said and done. So I look forward to that thrashing when we get paired together. But I'm so just impressed how these guys just come out and win. Granted, obviously looking back on my career, I wish I would have won more and whatnot. But yeah, it's always impressed me when a guy steps out there and sucks it up on Sunday and gets the job done, right away. I think that's really impressive.
Yeah, that's a great what's really cool about the fall series is those guys aren't just going to have that same opportunity come, once Riviera rolls around and Torrey Pines. Like, that's just when it gets real serious. Not saying those wins aren't impressive, it's just they just don't have that, 10 of the top 20 guys in the field or whatnot, and it's your time to shine and see these guys take advantage of it. It is kind of mind blowing, just because I'm always a big proponent of saying how hard winning is. I mean, you gotta in
yes.
a stroke play event, you've got to just have so much stuff go your way. And I mean, just looking, you are all over the leaderboard, for the better part of the fall series, and just seeing how many things got to go your way come Sunday to win it, it's just, you see the odds, like, there's a good Twitter account that I follow that just updates the odds every hour or so that you have to win. And somebody
okay.
might be a shot back with 9 holes to play, and their chance of winning the tournament's like 9% or something like
yes.
that. And that's what people don't realize, I feel like. You could be one shot ahead with 9 to play, and your winning percentage might be 30% or something like that, so... No, it is really interesting to see guys like Hughes and whatnot, Kaufman last year, guys that win in this fall series and take advantage of these opportunities. But
and it gets them into the Masters, right,
yeah.
which is a big deal. And all of a sudden it thrusts them back on that right on that big stage. I think it's wonderful.
And to win in this time period, you basically get a 3-year exemption on tour. You're set for the rest of the year, and then you get 2 full years after that. It's almost like the best possible time to win, other than, you know, if you're winning in the FedEx Cup playoffs or a major, obviously. But
yeah, no question.
Random question. I have no idea if you have any insight on this, but do we ever see Anthony Kim play a PGA Tour tournament again?
Man, I love it. Had I been Ryder Cup captain, my first 2 picks would have been Daniel Berger and Anthony Kim.
What?
Because you got to throw him out there. And I remember it was really early in Anthony's career. And it was at the Texas Open, but it was at a different golf course than what we play now. And I played a practice round with him, and he had just come out. And I knew of Anthony because he played college golf at Oklahoma, and I played at Oklahoma State. And I heard people say this guy's a great player. And I played 9 holes with him, and I thought, man, this guy has got the best golf swing out here. He's awesome. And not only that, he's got the attitude to back it up. He's not afraid to tell you how good he is, and he believes it. I mean, this guy is awesome. And, of course, he comes out, and he has a really nice run there, and obviously some injuries and what led around. But, man, I would love to see that guy come back. But, yes, as Ryder Cup captain, it would have been Daniel Berger and Anthony Kim. I'd have thrown them all first. Friday morning, they'd have been right out there first. The way those guys handle themselves and their, you know, confidence and cockiness, I love it.
Do you have any inside info at all about what his current status is? Practicing?
Zero. Like,
none. No, nobody knows anything.
No, nobody's a ghost. Nobody knows a thing. At least that I know. But no, I don't know anything except little bits and pieces. When he showed up in the news, was it a few weeks back with some charity events?
Yeah.
But other than that, not a thing. But man, I'd love to see him come back.
We're hanging on a string on just that charity event or any news we can get. I feel like
you just show how desperate of golf fans are. It's like, oh god, he played a charity event. He's coming back. He's winning the Masters.
Just wait till we get shot by shot of Tiger's practice rounds getting tweeted. He hit 6-iron off this tee. Blah blah blah. That's coming.
You know it is.
That's next week. So, are you willing to come? Are you willing to come clean now on this podcast that you are in fact on Twitter? Or are you still going to maintain that you're not on Twitter?
No, I'm not on Twitter. But for the sole reason is that I would sit and argue with people all night long, and it just wouldn't be healthy. I wouldn't do it. I mean, people say some things, and when they would say something that was just blatantly wrong or dumb, I would argue with them, and then I would realize that, you know, I'm laying here in bed, it's 9 o'clock at night, and I'm arguing with a guy on Twitter who I don't even know, and I've had some buddies of mine too, they put things on Twitter, they don't mean them a certain way, but they can be read a whole host of different ways. That stuff kind of scares me.
So I get that you don't want to be on, you know, as Charles Howell, but like you haven't convinced me that you don't have a secret account out there just to monitor what's going on out there.
Oh no, I don't. But I have so many friends of mine that are on Twitter, and they screenshot stuff and send it to me all the time.
Okay.
And yours is the most screenshotted and sent out stuff. I will say, not present company excluded. You're the most popular one. Most guys get the most laughs out of your stuff.
Well, I try, so that's good to hear. But do we get to everything in your notes, or what else do you have? Do you have some bombshells that you're ready to drop on us?
No, I'm interested to see how this Zurich Classic team format things goes out. I've been a little bit surprised at how so many people have embraced this idea of it. I'm not convinced yet it's a great thing.
Why is that?
Well, I'm just a little bit concerned that the tour has now opened themselves up to alternative format events. And then the possibility of having to tell one sponsor no when you've told another sponsor yes. And let's hypothetically say that Valero deems they're struggling by whatever metric they may use, and they want to go to an alternative format event. And now the tour tells them no, but yet they've told Zurich/Farmers yes. Now you could have a potential problem. And I just, the other thing too on this team event, and I know I'm not comparing apples to apples here, but Do you watch the Shark Shootout?
That is exactly what I said. I did the Tour Confidential on golf.com a couple weeks ago. And yes. I, as soon as the news came out about Zurich, I said, I'm pumped. This is great. And then I was like, wait a second. There is a team event and I don't watch it.
So I did a little bit of homework on this. The ratings, best we could figure out and find out for the Shark Shootout, it draws about a 1.0. Zurich roughly gets about a 1.5.
Okay.
So now I understand that it's December and whatever, and I understand that Zurich is more in the swing of golf things. But the Shark Shootout field is really good, okay? You could build an argument that the top, let's say, 24 players at Shark Shootout are equally as good as the top 24 players at Zurich. Now, I understand that Jason Day plays Zurich and Ricky Fowler and Justin Rose. I mean, I get it, and some of those names. But if you really take a look at the Shark Shootout field, it's pretty dang good. So I'm just not convinced yet that a team event is all of a sudden going to make the Zurich Classic what they may think they should be.
Okay.
Now, listen, I hope it works, right? Because, I mean, this is my job and whatnot. But I just, I mean, all this excitement over it, I'm like, guys, wait a minute. I mean, it's only November and, you know, I mean, Zurich, and listen, I mean, they do a great job with the tournament. And obviously they pay a lot of players to be their, quote, ambassadors. But, you know, one of the arguments, too, was that it may draw a better field. I mean, well, you already had Ricky Fowler play. You already had Jason Day playing. You already had Justin Rose playing. So now, because these guys have teamed up, is it going to draw that much more interest in viewership? I don't know. I mean, it might. I hope it does.
I think I can't disagree with anything you said. I think some of the excitement may come from the willingness to break the mold a bit mid-season, right? And kind of, yes, do a silly season format in the middle of the season. And the Euro Tour has been kind of a leader in just kind of taking half-baked ideas and throwing them into events. And it's been fun to watch. And I think in this kind of social media age where these kind of things attract attention and you're trying to attract a younger audience, because, I mean, let's face it, the main audience in golf, there's a reason there's a lot of Viagra commercials on golf broadcasts, because the audience is quite old. So it may attract some younger attention and kind of open up possibilities for more fun stuff like this. So I'm encouraged by it, hoping that it's going to open up the floodgates on stuff like that. But agree, I don't think that the format's going to necessarily make me tune in for it with great excitement. But also, I'm thinking, and maybe I'm thinking way too hard into it, and I know the PGA Tour has not had great correlation or great relationship with the Olympics so far, but there could be a potential for a team event in the Olympics in 2020. Could guys use this as a chance to practice, play together for the Olympics? I don't know. Again, I'm maybe.
Oh, no doubt they could. Well, and even Ryder Cup captains may tell certain guys to play together.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, don't throw that out of the realm. It says, hey, Lee, listen to, you know, Lee Westwood, Danny Willett, why don't you guys come over and play the Zurich, and I want you guys to play together and see how you do. And so, listen, I mean, there's a lot of positives on it. I just hope we don't get to the point where we're, where how do you tell, let's say, Zurich yes and John Deere no?
Yeah.
Or how do you, you know, that could get a little bit tricky.
Does the sponsor come up with the format? Or how does, I guess, who gets the call there?
Well, I don't know. That's interesting. And I would say with the sponsors pointing up, you know, let's say $7 to $10 million, and I think if they go to the tour and say, we want to do X, well, then, I mean, in my mind, they hold the cards.
Yeah.
You know, actually, another interesting thing, too, which Europe has done, this Rolex series. I think that is going to be really interesting. Seven tournaments in a row, $7 million purses. That's going to be interesting to watch as well.
Just to see how that correlates with PGA Tour season, you mean? That's the question for me.
Yeah, and to see if a guy takes up a dual membership and tries to play both. That's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, that's a lot of golf. So,
it is.
All right, what else you got in your notes here? What else did we not touch on?
You know, I think that's actually about all. The therapy sessions worked. I got over the Rory beating in the podcast. I hope we've done something here to redeem myself to some degree. But I'm sure Rory will come back on here and just hit another high bomb and it'll be all over.
You got to beat your goal to beat him off the course and maybe even on the course in 2017. But
or if you say, you know, I can't beat that guy on the course, but can I get him in a podcast? Right? Let's start going that direction.
Well, next time you come on, we need to just have you host it. We need to have you be the host, and you're gonna dictate the whole thing, and I'm just gonna sit back and watch you run the thing if that works.
Oh, that's fine. Oh, I can definitely do that. I can talk golf and this stuff all day. Yeah.
All right, man. Well, I'll let you go. It's holiday season. I want enjoy your Thanksgiving with your family, kids, and whatnot. Best of luck at the Shark Shootout. And with your practice time the rest of the year, and we'll catch up with you probably sometime not too far in the distant future if I have my way about it.
Well, call anytime. I appreciate it, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving over there, and stay in touch, and enjoy the holidays.
Thank you, Charles.
All right, my friend, have a great day.
Be the right club. Be the right club today.
Yes, Johnny. That's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most! Expect